Welcome to the Truth and Liberty broadcast. We believe we have a mandate to bring godly change to our nation and the world through the seven spheres or mountains of influence. To further this cause, we give away a product every week that will empower you to get involved in changing your life and changing our world. You can register for our weekly giveaway by subscribing at truthandliberty.net. You can also subscribe to our newsletter to receive weekly updates on guests, news, and much more. This is an interactive live cast, and we welcome your questions. To ask a question during the live cast, use the comment or chat features. Now, get ready to dive into this week's topics with our hosts on location in Colorado, USA.
Welcome to our Monday Night Truth and Liberty live cast. I'm Andrew Womack, and this week I have with me Pastor Mark Cowart. He's a blessing. He's part of our Truth and Liberty staff here. And he also directs our School of Practical Government in Karis Bible College. He's been a friend. Matter of fact, he's the very first person I ever met in Colorado Springs back in the 80s, I think.
It was 42 years this year. Next year will be 43 years we met.
Wow. Anyway, he's going to help me. We're giving our chief counsel, Richard Harris, the night off. He's been involved with lawyers fighting the state, and I mean working up to 20 hours a day, and he's got some time off, and so he will be back, but praise God, we're giving him the night off. We have as our guest tonight Dr. Rodney Howard Brown and also Dr. Paul Williams, and I'll be introducing them a little bit better in just a few minutes, but I want to let you know that you can get involved in this broadcast. We have a way that you can go to our website. We encourage you to go to our website because Google, Facebook, all of those social media things, they censor us every time we say anything that they don't like. It just miraculously drops out.
Disappears.
And so if you go to truthandliberty.net, that's the best way to interact with us, and you can leave questions there. And we're going to leave somewhere around 15 to 20 minutes at the end of this broadcast that we will be taking your questions, and you can ask Dr. Rodney Howard Brown or Paul Williams, and we're going to be discussing a phantom virus. That's the name of a new book that they've co-authored together. We're going to be talking about all the situation that's going on. And so leave those questions there. There are some things I want to mention. We've got, I believe, one of the best websites around. We've got a 24-hour news feed that we update. We've got all kinds of materials there. I mean, and we aren't a do-it-all-ourselves website, but we link to dozens of other websites. So if you have a question about how to get involved, about who to vote for, about any of these kind of things, you can go to our website and it'll connect you with all these other places. And it is just a great, great website. We have things on there about our Freedom Sunday. This is something that Tony Perkins put on with Jack Hibbs out in California. And I tell you, that was a powerful broadcast. Did you ever see that one?
That one I did not see.
It's awesome. And then we had our panel discussion with General Boykin and Bill Federer and Tony Perkins. And
that was off the
charts.
That
was really good. I think that's what got the government so upset with me because, boy, we just stirred up something the next day. I got a cease and desist
order. It was the next day, the very next day.
It was something else. Yep. Anyway, we've got all of that on there. We've got the accomplishments of President Trump that are on there. We've got just a lot of good things. We've also got some meetings coming up. I've got James Brown and Tony Dungy, both really famous men in the football realm, and they are going to be hosting a men's advance on March the 11th through the 13th right here. We've also got God With Us coming up. That's a musical that we put on, and we've got these people from Norway that, I mean, it is first class. We've had people that have been to Broadway and over in London, you know, they're at the theaters, and they say that this is every bit as good. It's really, really awesome, and that's going to be April the 2nd through the 4th, God With Us. We give away a book every week. This week, we're giving away my book on grace, the power of the gospel. This is a summary of the first nine chapters of the book of Romans. The Lord told me when I was just a baby Christian, I heard a man say, if you could ever understand the first nine chapters of the book of Romans, it'd change your life. And I bet you I spent 15 or 20 years before I felt like I began to get a revelation. I'm still getting revelation, but this has changed my life. Mm. It is the gospel and it'll really make a difference. So I've already signed this, and the way you become a part of that is to sign up. If you go on our truthandliberty.net website and just sign up, we will enter your name for a drawing. Last week, we gave away Bill Federer's book. He was with us last week, and we gave away Miracles in American History, and Michael and Terry Weiser are the ones who won that. And so we'll be sending that out to you. We also want to encourage you that we have our phone lines open. We have people on our phones 24 hours a day, 5 days a week, get about 56,000 calls a month. And they are there to minister to you. And they're there right now at 719-635-1111. If you have any questions about anything, they'll answer all of those questions. They're there to minister to you. The last thing before I introduce our guest is we also, this is a listener-supported broadcast. It's a 501c4. This is so that we can be as political as we want to. I believe that we have the constitutional right to be as political as we want to. Pastor Mark can testify to this. How many years ago was it that you made the newspaper?
Oh, that was the year 2012. That was when I stepped out with Pulpit Freedom Sunday, and media showed up, and somebody texted me that Sunday after church and said, you ought to watch the local news. I think you're the top story. So the headlines were local preacher preaches politics, local church breaks law, preaches politics. And I argue with that because I believe I'm being biblical.
Absolutely.
And I just happen to touch politics.
Absolutely.
And that's the way it started in this country.
But I believe
actually
that we have that right to be as political as we want to be, because that's what the history of this nation is, and our Constitution guarantees it. And yet, that's not the opinion that a lot of people hold. I've just had two judges rule against me. I had one judge recently, just in the last 2 weeks, rule that I am not a religious organization. I am no different than TED,
TED Talks.
And all we do is sing a couple of Christian songs. And they said, we don't have any First Amendment rights.
And you know what, Andrew? The answer to this is in the Word. Isaiah 1:26 says, the way we restore righteousness to the land is through the judges. And when we see how the judges ruled against you, I mean, what an organization. What a blessing you are, not only to the local area, to the world. And for them to say you're not a religious organization is ludicrous.
Well, it really is. And so anyway, my point is, I believe I've got the freedom, constitutional right to say these things, but there are judges that are activist judges and don't hold to that. And so we just started a 501c4, which means that Truth and Liberty is a political organization. I could run for office if I wanted to, but I won't lower myself to that. Amen. I believe that what God's called me to is much greater than that. But my reason for bringing all this out is we need you to support this broadcast. We have 7 broadcasts every week, live cast, and we have a whole crew and, of course, a lot of things that it takes to make that happen. But when you give to Truth and Liberty, it's not tax deductible, but God is keeping record, and I guarantee you, you'll be blessed for it. So we'd like for you to participate. Go to truthandliberty.net and become a member. If you sign up for an automatic $5 or more withdrawal per month, you become a member. And we now have, I forget the exact number, but I think it's 60,000 members or something like that.
And they get a copy of the New England Primer,
yep,
correct? And
yep,
I encourage everybody to get a copy of that for the simple reason that's the way we used to teach our children the ABCs from the scriptures. And we wonder, you know, the entrance of God's word gives light. And we wonder why our kids are at such horrible places in our public schools. We've taken the word out, but when we had the word in, and they can get a copy of that when they become a partner.
I tell you what, we wouldn't be in the situation this nation is in if our education system hadn't been co-opted by the liberals. And one of the reasons that I'm really excited about our two guests, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, he came from South Africa. He has seen socialism or communism take over. He's seen what it's done, and now he's an American citizen, and he's shouting the alarm on this. And then Dr. Paul Williams is associated with him, and they have, I think Paul has written 18 books is what I read in the biography on him, and these books are radical, it sounds like, by just reading some of the comments about them. And their newest one is on the Phantom virus, And I could give you a much greater introduction. As I read through the biography, Dr. Paul Williams has been on all the news broadcasts. Of course, Rodney Howard Brown has been ministering revival for many, many years. I was at one of your meetings, Rodney, at Rick Shelton's church in St. Louis is where I first met you. We have mutual friends, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc. They used to travel with your brother Basil and minister with him. And anyway, you guys are just a blessing. So before we get right into this book that you wrote, Rodney, we need you to let the people know. You are probably the very first minister that when these lockdowns came, you're the very first one that refused to obey that, and you got arrested and made quite the headlines here in the United States. Tell our audience a little bit about what happened with you.
Well, first of all, we knew, and let me just say, honored to be on with you. Thank you for having us, and we appreciate you and your impact around the globe as well. And, you know, when I saw all this happening, I realized that we were up against a fight, because when President Trump would not sign into the Paris Climate Agreement, that they were going to try to use something else. And so we had made a run across Australasia. By the time we hit Singapore, they were taking everybody's temperature. We came through Jakarta. These were one-night meetings. Bali, on to General Santos in the Philippines, and then Manila. We were supposed to go to Micronesia, a small country, a little town called Pohnpei, and they closed it down because of this virus. So we went straight on to Honolulu, did the Friday night meeting, and I just finished 17 cities in 3 weeks, including Australia, New Zealand, and Fiji. But I realized this thing was coming like a train smash. We got back home, and I told the church what had happened was I had the document from the Rockefeller Foundation called Operation Lockstep. Lockstep, 52-page document, which I had got up in the church and read it word for word of what they were planning to do using the virus. So that was the whole foundation for actually the book, Phantom Virus, How an Unseen Enemy Shut Down the Globe. Nothing is by accident. This is all planned. So I come from Africa, where we travel villages where there's Ebola, there's every kind of flesh-eating disease and every kind of virus. And here we are. I mean, we don't... Nobody's socially distanced there or wear masks or any of that stuff. And if you know anything about a virus, it's impossible to vaccinate for a virus. You can't. It just does. Otherwise, they would have had a vaccination for HIV/AIDS, and they would have for Ebola and H1N1. They didn't do that. But that's another form of control along with the masks. So anyway, I then flew a man in from Texas. I got all the machines that killed the virus. These machines are certified by the U.S. military, by universities, and by hospitals. And basically, I made my church into a total sterile. You could perform open heart surgery in the sanctuary. I mean, it kills every virus. So I knew that our people were safe. But and then, of course, as I said, the sheriff and I were friends. He made me an honorary deputy sheriff 2 weeks before I got arrested. Was in contact with me. I told him everything I did. He said, "Dr. Rodney, you're safe." But nonetheless, when the local authorities put their foot down and said, "We were shutting down the churches," I just said, "I ain't shutting down the church. The First Amendment of the Constitution gives me a right to have church." And so we just went ahead and had church. And that's why I got arrested. But right after my arrest, the governor, Rick DeSantis, reversed everything, made churches an essential service. And we got a letter from the same city saying you can meet, no social distancing, no masks, and you're fine. Because they realized they had transgressed the supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution. But I did shut the church down because of the threats that we were having. So that's basically what happened. We stayed shut for about 8 weeks. The sheriff did come and visit me at my house, and we opened up on Pentecost Sunday on the field, which I took 2 acres of the parking lot and put AstroTurf down, and we meet on the field. We did that. And tonight, actual fact, the service is going live right now, night number 157 off the stand. And we alternate. We go inside and outside. We'll be in the sanctuary, and then we packed it out. It's church is going well. Our Bible school's already started, you know, the next year intake. So, but we realize that this thing's not over. And you can see already they're trying to, they're frantic. This is a communist takeover of America using the World Health Organization. And what has shocked me the most is that people are afraid. I've never seen so much fear. Yeah. And even in the past, it's like they're afraid to die. You want to give an altar call so people can get saved.
Yeah.
Like, do you not know where you're going? Anyway, that's it in a nutshell.
So, Rodney, would you mind introducing Dr. Paul Williams there? You guys are associates, and you could do a much better job at it than I could. So how did you guys get together? What's your relationship?
Well, Dr. Paul Williams is a legend. He downplays what he is, but he actually he comes from a whole Catholic background. So for him and me to be working together is a total miracle. He's one of the top professors in the nation. He lectures on medieval theology. He speaks Latin. He's been in the Vatican Library. He understands everything that's going on, and he's a genius. And so when I went to Washington, D.C. and spoke for 15 nights, he was sitting on the front row. Somebody brought him to me afterwards, and he said, man, I never heard a preacher talk like you. I'm a writer. Let's team together. So that's when we wrote the first book, The Killing of Uncle Sam, The Planned Demise of the United States. And so I know some of the stuff that I shared with him was even a shock to him, because he couldn't believe, you know, he knew there was a problem, but he couldn't believe. And of course, in that book, he felt Hillary was going to win, and he wanted the last chapter to be the reign of Jezebel. And I said, no, Trump will win. So I won on that one, you know. So, but anyway, this is Dr. Paul Williams. His books on Operation Gladio, which is amazing, and all of the other books that he's written, I encourage people to get it. You can just Google him and all his books off of Amazon.
Well, Paul, that's Dr. a Paul. Much better introduction than I would have been able to give you.
Wow.
So, wow, that's pretty good recommendation. So you've written a number of books, and I've read the titles of all of these, but we want to talk specifically about this last one concerning this virus, because this is the thing that has affected every one of us individually. It's affected our nation. It's what's caused Rodney to be arrested. It's caused me to have 3 cease and desist letters given to me by the government. Right now they're trying to get a permanent injunction against me to prohibit us from ever meeting together. And so this is the 900-pound gorilla in the room. So what do you guys have to say about all of that in this book? Paul, let you start.
Well, there are a couple of things about this is probably the most important book I've ever written and I didn't write it myself. I wrote it totally with Dr. Rodney. But what this book shows is, number one, that this pandemic has been planned for the last, I would say, the last 20 years. In 2010, the Rockefeller Foundation produced a pamphlet called Scenarios for the Future of Technology. And in it, they talked about what would happen if a pandemic struck America. What economic benefits would it be for a certain group of people if there was a lockdown? And it showed that what would happen when a pandemic arose, the travel industry, the entertainment industry, the hotel industry, the oil industry, all these industries would suffer incredibly. They showed that certain companies would benefit enormously, including the big pharma companies, for big business companies like Walmart and Home Depot. This was all contained in this 2010 study called Scenario for the Futures of Technology, prepared by the Rockefeller Foundation, 4 members of the Rockefeller Foundation. So the report was circulated among the people who are the wealthiest people in the world. It wasn't written for you or me or even Pastor Rodney. It was written for the creme de la creme. And in any case, right after that report came out that a pandemic would be so beneficial economically, Bill Gates announced that 2010 to 2020 would be the decade of vaccines. And from that point on, the people with a great deal of money started investing, divesting, first of all, in oil, including the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. They completely divested their oil interest. And they started to invest in green energy. They started to invest in big pharma. They started to invest in big business like Walmart. One of the principal shareholders of Walmart right now is Bill Gates, I think the second largest shareholder. But what happened was during that time, during the last 10 years, there's a great transfer of wealth into the pockets of the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. At the same time, after the scenario came out, a year ago in October 2019, the Gates Foundation sponsored something called Event 201 that took place at the Johns Hopkins Institute in Baltimore. At this event, military officials, business officials, government officials all participated in a simulation of a virus. What would happen if that virus was released, and just to make sure what would happen. What that event 201 that took place in October 2019, what was recorded there was exactly what took place in the United States. Last January at the World Economic Forum, the powers that be, all the leading bankers, all the leading businessmen in the world, all the leading government officials in the world gathered in Davos, Switzerland for the World Economic Forum, and they announced in the middle of January that a pandemic was released upon the world's population. Now, you got to realize at that time, there was really no pandemic at all. There wasn't even an outbreak at all. Nobody had been killed or died from the coronavirus. It was all hype. And yet, it all took place according to the plan. Now, another thing is, this virus that has been unleashed upon the world has been developed by these same people. I'm saying this, I hope people are listening and can grasp what Dr. Rodney and I have discovered. It was developed, this virus was developed at the University of North Carolina under the auspices of a virologist by the name of Dr. Barrick. A coronavirus, beginning after 9/11, they took a coronavirus and they developed something called gain of function. They wanted this coronavirus to be immune from existing vaccines. They wanted this coronavirus to be able to spread from person to person to person to person. They refined this coronavirus in Wuhan at the Wuhan Institute through the University of North Carolina, working with Dr. Anthony Fauci, okay, at the National Institute of Health. And this whole virus has been manufactured. This is true. It's been manufactured and released upon the people.
So, Paul, let me interrupt here for just a second. I've heard some of these things before, not in the detail that you're giving, but, I don't have any way of verifying this. And you're quoting a lot of statistics. Can you verify this? And if it can be verified, how come nobody else is saying
it's all in the book. Everything's verified in the book with mm-hmm. the footnotes.
So how come nobody else is saying this? Are there other people saying it?
Well, I want to, if I can just finish this train of thought.
Okay.
What happened was, I've been on various shows. Well, I've been on probably every news show in the United States, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, you name it, ABC. I've been on all of them. I've written a lot of books and I've made a lot of appearances. What's happening with this book, Andrew, is as soon as you mention the things that I'm mentioning, you mentioned at the beginning of the program, you become censored. I did a program called Caravan to Midnight, for instance, just a short time ago. And I mentioned all these statistics, all these facts. Now, this guy's supposed to be a person with some guts. But I spent 2 hours talking to him and verifying what I've been saying to you. Guess what? He said, this is the most astonishing material I've ever received. And when I was talking to him, he was verifying it for himself. Guess what? That program never aired. And this has happened time and time and time again. When our book appeared, The Phantom Virus, it was banned by Amazon. So we're seeing censorship on a scale I would have never dreamed. You can get the worst smut in the United States, the worst filth in the United States, but you can't get a book that's going to tell you the gospel truth.
You know, that's interesting. You use the gospel truth. That's the name of my television program. I just saw an interview this afternoon with the lawyer, the president's lawyer. I think it's Sidney Porter. Is that
Powell?
Sidney Powell. And anyway, she was saying some very disturbing things about this Dominion software and all of this. And one of the phrases that she said was that this literally is a revolution that is being waged with the help of the tech industry, the social media. She mentioned the medical stuff and things like this. And this is what you guys are saying. This is not an accident, it's planned.
Yeah, what's actually planned is, which we should probably do another chapter to Phantom Virus and add it, but is the whole global reset. So Canada's already leaking out what they want to do. The global reset is basically, they'll come in now on the back of this. And I actually played a clip on my Sunday service from the Prime Minister of Canada actually stating this, that this is a great opportunity for us now to implement the Agenda 2030, which we wanted to get going. So they're going to come in. This is what's planned for Canada right now. They're going to come in. They're going to pay everybody's debt. They're going to give them a digital score. They're going to give them a monthly amount of money from the government. And you have to sign over all your property that you own to the government. And then if you're a good person, then you'll be allowed to basically live. You will take a vaccine. Based on the vaccine will depend on how you travel, who you interact, where you go. This is the plan. Now, most people don't want to believe it. Trump is the stopgap. He is the wrecking ball to the whole globalist agenda. That's why they've tried to steal this election, which I still believe is going to come unglued. It's happening right now. But Dr. Paul and I have spoken a lot about this, but this is not just about the virus. This is about total control and total takeover. You can see New Zealand's gone. They're already going house to house to force test people. If you don't get forced tested, you get stuck in camps. And if you stay for 14 days, won't get tested, they give you another 14 days. When you finally get tested, if you get out, there will come house to house forced vaccination. That's where it's going. Half of Australia's in that mess right now. Victoria is still trying to recover their lockdown, 8 months, the city of Melbourne. And then the UK is totally messed up, totally under control of this whole thing. And so Canada the same way. They tried it in South Africa. Of course, the Africans are not succumbing to it because many of them are already on hydroxychloroquine and the anti-malaria drugs. So it's not really affecting them, although when you look at the planet, you can see they've used certain strains of coronavirus to really wreak havoc. So if they don't get their way of what they want to do here in America with Biden and Harris stealing the election and then implementing all the stuff, they will release another strain of COVID next year that will just literally kill people. People drop dead in the streets. And that's what nobody wants to talk about. We're not making this stuff up. Dr. Paul Williams is in touch with many professors at Harvard and Yale, Princeton, NYU, that confirm everything we say. And the book is totally documented with everything. It's plain for people to see. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact.
So how do we fight back?
We have to resist, like what you're doing and what I'm doing. I mean, I told the church Sunday morning, I played the clip of the Prime Minister of Canada speaking. I said in 30-second clip, explains everything of what they plan to do. And I said, I'm probably, if this thing, let's say it turns the way where Biden is sworn in, it's going to be all hell breaking loose, literally. All hell, because he's totally a puppet, and so is Kamala. Trump is not. Trump is his own man, And that's why they want him out. They want him out at all costs. And so we're going to have to stand, and it's going to mean more rest. It's going to mean, listen, I'm just telling you, it's going to come down to showdown at the OK Corral, you know? And Dr. Williams and I have talked about this. I mean, Paul, I mean, you confirm these things I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. That's why I'm at the river. I was born and raised a Catholic, and then I was going to a lot of mainline churches and they were all empty. They were all dead. I believed we were in the post-Christian era, like Jacob Burkhart said. And then I heard Pastor Rodney, and he got it. He saw into what exactly is taking place. That since the time of Cecil John Rhodes, who formed the Society of the Elect in South Africa in 1879, since that time, there has been a push by a power elite to create universal socialism, to place everybody under, like slaves under a government, under government control. And this was the dream, not only of Cecil John Rhodes and the British elite, but also of Andrew Carnegie, of John D. Rockefeller, of J.P. Morgan, all of these titans of industry. As a matter of fact, John D. Rockefeller said that competition is a sin. Is a sin. They didn't believe in free enterprise. They believed in socialism. You get big business, you get big government, they control the big business, and they control the government, and we are reduced to the really modern servitude. And
which is another
way
thing.
I've fought this is by actively taking part in the struggle with Pastor Rodney. And I encourage. I'm just. I think I probably the best move I ever made in my life. Not only which was it, but
yeah, which is another thing, Dr. Paul. We talked about in the other books was the whole thing of population reduction, eugenics, which they feel the world's overpopulated, and so we got to correct that. And this vaccine, the vaccine they're coming on, is an RNA vaccine that actually changes your DNA. So they want to remove the God factor out of people, that they won't feel God. They won't be, because a lot of the stuff was developed by DARPA, really in the creation of the super soldier, which they wanted to bring about soldiers that had no emotions whatsoever. So a lot of the stuff, it's all the end time wicked plan of the enemy to totally destroy humanity because he hates man. But I don't believe, listen, I mean, it sounds like we all negative here, but I believe we can see the greatest move of God ever. And I don't believe they're going to succeed. I absolutely not. I mean, and maybe Dr. Paul feels they're going to succeed, but he and I have been back and forth.
Well, you know,
I don't believe they're going to succeed. No, they forget. They don't realize we have the Holy Ghost and we have the name of Jesus and we have the word of God. We have the blood of Jesus and we have the angels of heaven. So that in this hour that God is raising up an army, men and women that will not compromise and will not bow their knee to Baal, and that will stand, and we will see the glory of God manifest. And I believe America's going to be shaken. So it's crazy that we write all these books. It sounds like it's negative, but I see what the Lord wants to have done. This is the hour of the church. This is the hour of the body of Christ rising up.
On the brighter side of things, I do have to say, I believe we're on the cusp of the greatest move of God to hit the planet. And I think we have to keep the God factor alive in this. God is not intimidated by this. I do think it's important that we know what's going on. Christians, unfortunately, have always been the least informed, and questions are starting to pour in like you would not believe. But one of the things I just wanted to bring out in the book that y'all have just come out with, it's called Phantom Virus. But what you're saying to us, all of what you're saying, because I mean, we hit some topics tonight, and I could just, I could just hear the people going, what? I've never heard of this before. What in the world? And, you know, fear tries to take hold of people. But, Dr. Paul, it sounds like the attention to detail in the book that you have both written there, you document those things, and I do think it's important. So, for instance, one of the questions was, I'm not understanding the logic behind the conspiracy. Would that be answered in this book? Because I know we're not going to be able to solve all these things tonight and really go into the depth, but does the book explain the logic behind all of these different things?
Why would they want to literally destabilize the entire world? What's the benefit?
Because they worship Lucifer. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, but when you destabilize, when you create a strategy of tension like the CIA did with Operation Gladio, when you have one side against the other side and you create this strategy, it's a perfect time to come in and steal what you want to steal. And what's happening, what you asked a question, or Pastor Mark asked a question of whether everything's explained. It's explained in the book in meticulous detail. What happened was, going back to 1879, like I said before, with Cecil John Rhodes, you had a group of people who realized that if they got together and they used their fortune, they used their resources, they used their political influence, they could gain control of the world's economy, the world's wealth. That took place, that society was created. This is not a conspiracy theory. That society morphed into the Pilgrim Societies in London and in the United States. They evolved into the Council on Foreign Relations in New York and the Royal Institute of International Affairs in England. From the Council on Foreign Relations in New York have come the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the United Nations, the World Trade Organization, the World Health Organization, all from this one group. And the Council on Foreign Relations is no different from the Council, from the Society of the Elect. It's a secret society consisting of billionaires, people of political and even religious influence, all gathered together to manipulate world affairs. And this has been going on and going on and going on. And people have to be aware of that. This is, once again, this is not conspiracy theory. It only makes sense. If you have a group of billionaires, they want to protect their own interest. They want to make sure that anything that takes place, they're going to profit from it. So they get together at different places. They don't get together to sacrifice a goat or a chicken, but they get together to plan how they're going to gain control of the world's resources. They meet at places like Bilderberg. They meet at places like Davos, Switzerland at the World Economic Forum. They meet at places like the Bank of International Settlement in Switzerland. They meet continuously and they lay these plans and they make sure these plans come to fruition. One of the greatest plans that they unhatched is this present pandemic.
Well, you know, this is scriptural. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. The love of money is the root of all evil. And if you just keep following the root, it goes back to there is financial gain in it for these people.
All of it's in the book, The Killing of Uncle Sam lays the foundation. And then The Killing of the Planet, which explains how they took over the universities, how they took over all the medical field, how they took over the judiciary. That's why the courts are in total mess. And then the book that we've written on socialism under the microscope, and then the latest one on the phantom virus. So I know we're throwing out a lot of things, but you're looking at 1,400 pages of information, all documented from years and years and years of research. And all like on Killing Uncle Sam, there's 1,000 footnotes. I've told people, if you find one mistake factually, tell us, we'll correct it. No one has come to us and said, you made a mistake on this point, it didn't really work. I even had a guy out of California who's a scientist, went through everything, and he went to every footnote, and he called me about a week later, he said, I was in shock for 3 days. I didn't even know what to say. So it's all documented. People can either believe it or not believe it. And if you go to Amazon, you can get it. This, and again, let me just say this. So with all this stuff, people need to know what we're up against, because unless an axe is laid at the root of the tree, you can't remove this stuff. And the Bible speaks plainly in the book of Jeremiah that we are to root out, pull down, throw down, destroy, and then build and plant. Where a lot of ministers want to build and plant, but you can't build and plant when all of the system, it's a system in place that owns both sides of the narrative. So if I own the Miami Dolphins and I own the Denver Broncos, I don't care who wins. I own both teams, but the fans do. And that's what we see taking place right in front of our eyes here with Republican and Democrat, and people don't know.
Okay, so to get all of these books, they go to revival.com. Is that the address?
Yeah, or just go to Amazon. We do have the audiobooks out now. You can get them on Audible or audiobooks. People can Google it on Amazon. The book's available.
You've said a lot of things, man. There's going to be a lot of people getting these books. That'll be great.
And, you know, one of the things, I think we need to get to some questions, because right now they are pouring in. And one of the things I do want to say, Andrew, I was on a conference call with General Boykin. This was a few years ago, with pastors, and one of them said, well, what should we be doing right now? And the very first thing he said was be informed. And what is being described here, in the founding era of our country, pastors were the most informed people. I'm finding today pastors are the least informed. Yeah. They won't even talk about this stuff. And when I've talked about
Do you know why? Because they took over the seminaries. And they begin to preach all this against everything. And we document that in the book, how they took over all the seminaries. That's why you have pastors coming out. They don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in the cross. They don't believe in the blood. They don't believe in repentance. They don't believe in the inerrancy of the scripture or anything.
That's the reason God led you and me to start Bible schools, amen, because we can't trust the traditional ones.
Exactly. Yes, sir. And so I want to get into some of these questions here. Here's one, and this is a real simple question, but what should Christians do at this time? In light of all of these things that are going on, we've got things that probably when a lot of people heard what you're talking about, people are saying, I've never heard the likes of this. And it does sound so much like conspiracy theory. And I think one of the best things believers can do right now is be informed. Books like what you've written with the footnotes and those types of things. But there's several things. You know, a spirit of fear has gripped pastors and churches and believers. And God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. But what would you say in light of the things we've talked about? You know, some people are probably wanting to run, find a cave, and just hunker down. But what should we as believers do?
Number one, pray. Number two, educate themselves. If you get these books, again, as I said, if you find one mistake, we'll correct it. And I dare you, I challenge you to find a mistake factually in there, we'll correct it. We're not here pushing a fit. That's how they got everybody to shut up. They just say it's a conspiracy theory. Oh, no, I'm not part of that. But they, the conspiracy that pushes the conspiracy theory, so everybody gets afraid and doesn't want to deal with the facts. These are facts.
And what would you say? Here's a question from Vince on the chat room here. What if my church just doesn't want to get involved in all these things or talk about what we've been discussing tonight?
I mean, I'm very plain. Find another church. I mean, the bottom line is, the bottom line is your pastor's going to stand before God because he did not look after the flock and did not educate them. And I wouldn't want to be around. It's like I always get speechless when I talk, because I don't know how a pastor is going to not deal with these things that are going to help his congregation. So you need to find another church.
You know, I've got a niece that lives in Atlanta, and they are very active in politics and stuff, but they go to a mega church. It's a Pentecostal church. If I was to mention the name, everybody here would know exactly who I'm talking about. And yet they would not take a stand on any political issue. They wouldn't take a stand against abortion or anything because they're just trying to reach everybody. And she, this last election, just finally is fed up. She said she's got to find her a new church, just like what Rodney's talking about, because we can't be indifferent. We can't sit on the fence. We've got to choose sides and get in and fight.
Now, another question here from Ruthie on chat. I think I know the answer to this, but where do you find the true facts on COVID? You hear all of these things. It sounds like, if I'm not mistaken, this book you've got, you're saying that you speak very plainly that we've got a virus on our hands, but the way that it's been purported, would your book be a place that they can get a hold of true facts on the COVID with documentation to back it up?
Totally. Put off CNN, put off NBC, put off ABC, put off MSNBC, put off Fox, put off the lying prostitute propaganda media that lies to the people 24/7. You can go down to Barnes & Noble. You can go to Amazon, pull these books, and spend your time studying and verify everything for yourself. But you know what? I'm shocked more than ever, and I talked to Dr. Paul about it. A lot of people, including preachers, they don't read anymore. They don't read. That's why we actually did a comic on the Book of Socialism, because I thought, if they can't read, let's do a comic.
Hey, let me ask you a question that not only the origin of the virus and all these kind of things, but President Trump said in one of his rallies the Saturday before the election that now, with the understanding that they have about the virus and things like this, there's a 99.9% recovery rate now, so that this is much less than the traditional flu. So it's not only the origins, but they're shutting everything down as if this is the deadliest thing to come along, and it's just not true.
But they've merged flu and coronavirus right now. Let me just say this. Think for yourself. So the virus is so deadly that I have to go get tested to know I have it.
Yes.
let me think about that. What do you mean? It's so deadly. Yeah, come here. You need to get tested. You have a virus. Come on. I come from Africa. If you have a virus, you're gonna end up dying. So all of this stuff, people have just believed all the lies. The masks do not protect you. Even on the box, when you buy the mask, it tells you this does not protect you from any virus. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. So it's a compliance issue. And as I said on my show last week, I said, it's a beginning to look a lot like Islam everywhere you go. Yeah, people are wearing the mask. So it's all about becoming nice little complicit citizens. You will do what you are told. And as far as I can tell you, this is America. We have a constitution, and we'll do what the constitution has told us, the supreme law of the land.
You know, my wife did a research on the flu, and last year, this is just in Colorado, but in last year in Colorado, there was 22,000 cases of the flu in 2019. In 2020, there's been 1,500. And you know that the flu didn't go away. What they're doing is just taking any person with any symptom and putting it as COVID, and that's inflating all of these numbers. Plus, we have like 100 times as many people tested as any other nation.
And there's a difference between dying of COVID and dying with COVID.
Yes.
The difference. In Florida, somebody had a head-on collision.
Yeah.
And they said, no, he died of COVID. A guy got eaten by an alligator. He died of COVID. They try to call the alligator COVID.
And we have that same thing happening here. I actually have two friends that went to get tested. They filled out the paperwork, stood in line for 2 hours, and they didn't have enough time, so they left. And the next week, without being tested, they got a letter that they both tested positive.
And we have people in our church, same thing happened. It was actually their very close friends. They left and then got results in the mail that they were positive.
Let me say this, if this leads us to a position that, all right, we just aren't going to abide by all of these draconian things, well, then the government, with this other information that's contrary to all the things we're talking about, comes against you like they did me and put in a cease and desist order. And how do you deal with this?
We're going to have to go to jail. We're going to have to go to prison.
Yep. Well I'm ready.
Well, we've got someone up in Canada watching, Morgan on Facebook, and she's asking, what can we as Canadians do? We are obviously in a terrible mess here. So they've already gotten some things happening. What do they do?
the lady out of, I believe it was Toronto area, who was supposed to be quarantined. This happened about a month ago. She was supposed to be quarantined, and she was quarantined for 4 days. They found her. They arrested her, and they fined her $1 million, and she's going to spend, I think, 6 years in prison. So Canada, they've already taken away all your weapons. I know that probably Alberta, the state of Alberta, is probably the one that's fighting the most, that is standing up. But for the rest of Canada, people are just caved. They're just, well, we just want to be obedient citizens. And what people don't understand, that's what happened in Nazi Germany. Two churches next door to each other, one would sing louder while they came to take the people away to the gas chambers. And so we're coming back to that, because they want to put people on re-education camps where they're going to re-educate you and make you a nice citizen. And I don't think they can re-educate Dr. Paul Williams. He's been around too long. He doesn't really care. And I'm sure not interested in their re-education deal. So there's a lot of resistance right there. And people are going to have to stand up and resist, period.
Let me say that, you know, we are resisting and we're in court battles and things like this. But if every church in Woodland Park, which this is a small town, but there's dozens, there's probably close to 100 churches in this town or county. And if everyone stood up, they would not do to them what they're doing to me individually. If every person in Canada stood up, like what that lady you were talking about, Rodney, they wouldn't do this to everyone. And you can go all the way back to Scripture and see this. When Jezebel, she killed the prophets, but when they had a revival and the whole nation said, "The Lord, He is the God," she had to back down, because they can't overcome the masses. And if every person would stand up, that's one of the best things we could do, is to join hands.
And you know, Andrew, you've heard me say this. Sometimes I sound like a broken record, but I remember when I first heard the term Black Robe Regiment, I had no clue what it was. And I don't know how I made it through school in West Texas and never heard of the Black Robe Regiment, because it was a backhanded comment by the British against clergy of the day. And what I believe, and if there's any pastors watching tonight, I really hope they understand the importance they hold, small church, big church, mega church, whatever. But in the founding era, there would have been no revolution if pastors hadn't spoken up and out. And secular historians have said, if pastors hadn't spoken up, there would be no revolution. And if some chance it had broken out, it wouldn't have been sustainable. So pastors carry the spiritual authority in this nation. I'm telling you, and what you're saying, Andrew, you know, my heart goes out to people in congregations where the pastors won't speak up at all. And I get it. You know, it's not a popular thing. I make people mad because I speak out too much. And then I made other people mad because I don't speak out enough. I've had them leave on both counts. And so, but we're not in this for popularity.
Well, I can just tell you, my wife hates what's happening to me, thinking that I'm going to jail, and that she has gone into stores and people know who she is and they won't serve her. And things like that. She doesn't like it. I don't like it. But that doesn't mean that we have any option. If we don't stand up and resist this, we aren't even going to have the freedom to assemble.
Well, and I've got another question for y'all. Someone's asking, what happens if we become a socialist country? That's a question that came in.
It's not good. That's what I can tell you. Doc, do you want to say something?
Well, it's already occurring. With every new year, we're bending more and more and more left, Republicans and Democrats. And right now, you have a great deal of the country already socialized. Once you have a centralized government that can dictate what states can do, what municipalities can do, you have socialism. We already have that. And people should object to what's taking place right now. The federal government pontificating on what must be taught in schools, what genders must be recognized, all these things coming down, that you have to pay your taxes for abortion. All these things are indications that we've already become a socialist nation. We've abnegated the rights of the various states to be sovereign, let alone the local municipalities. And by doing that, we're really dissolving the very meaning of America.
And not only that, England is just coming out now. They're going to tax everybody because you're working from home, and that's a privilege. So when you work from home, you have to pay taxes on your business operating from the house. Let me just flip this thing quickly. If you remember Gideon's army of 300, mm-hmm. to go up against the might in Judges chapter 7 of over 100,000, the enemy, he had 32,000. God said there's too many. So he announced, anybody who's afraid, go home. We need to tell the church, if you're afraid, go home, please, go home. You cannot surround yourself with people that are afraid. So go home. He was left with 10,000. Then God gave them a drinking test, and that come down to 300 men. They surrounded the enemy. They had their pitchers with their torches in the middle that covered up the light and the trumpets, and they were to go out and at the command, shout the sword of the Lord, the sword of Gideon, break the pitchers, hold up the torches, blow the trumpet, and the enemy killed themselves. So we have to pray. As we pray, God is going to wreak havoc in the camp of the wicked. You can Amen. Even see that happening even now. They're turning on each other.
Yep.
So I believe by an army, of Gideon's army, and I'm not talking about the weapons of the flesh, which I believe in the Second Amendment. We have a church that's the Second Amendment church. But I believe that we're going to stand and still and see the salvation of God, that there's a church that's arising. The Lord told me this. I had an open vision back in March, and he said to me, the end is not yet. He said, I'm sifting my people. I'm separating the wheat from the tares, the profane from what's holy, and the false from what's true. And he said, I'm purifying my bride, and I'm getting them ready for my coming. I'm coming soon. And then he said, I saw the earth. I saw his hand move the gauze that covered the earth, which is like the plague. And he said, I, the Lord, your God, shall do this work. And I care not who's in the White House and who's in this agency or that. So you and I that are watching this, we represent the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, a kingdom that will endure forever and forever. And so the word says that God arises, enemies be scattered. So Amen. As we stand up, I don't believe they're going to be able to do what they're supposed
to
do.
So, Rodney, we're just about out of time. I'm sorry to break in. But let me just say, if you peel back one layer, of course, it's the devil that is behind all of this, and we have the ultimate authority. The church is the one that has to stand up. We can't depend upon the politicians. The church is the answer, and that's the reason that we can't just abide by their rules and get out of the way. God's agents. We're the first line of a defense against this. So we're just about out of time. Thank you guys for being with us. And again, if they want to get these books, they go to revival.com, they go to Amazon, they go to any of the bookstores. They're there, and I encourage you to get those books. Again, let me thank CTN for carrying this on their network for us, and what a blessing that is. And thank all of you for joining us. We do this every Monday night at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and we have on guests just like this. We've had on some of the greatest guests in this nation, and it'll be a blessing to you. Remember to join us next Monday night for our Truth and Liberty live cast, 6 p.m. God bless you. See you next week.
Join us next time for the Truth and Liberty broadcast. Find tonight's episode and related articles and links at truthandliberty.net. Truth and Liberty is viewer supported. If you'd like to help us continue our live casts, you can make a donation at truthandliberty.net.